there's our announcement. So I want to start off with just the Rambam discussion, and then we'll get into the Bittul Melacha question. Let me just ask here. How many of you read, anybody get a chance to read the Ari Levine article in the end? Yeah, okay. No, my audio is fine, I didn't. So Evan, you read the article? Zachar, you read the article? Yeah. Yakir, did you get a chance to read the article? Ari Levine?
Not yet.
Okay, it's very tedious. Adin, did you get to read it? Adin?
Who is this? Who is Rabbi Levine?
Yeah, I got through most of it.
Okay, yeah. Cole, did you get a chance to look at it?
No, who is this person?
He wrote, a bunch of these books, like economics and Jewish law. He's like, I think he's a musmach of RJJ. It's like one of like,
I don't know what that is.
Like one of these old like yeshivas on the Lower East Side. I think he was like a Talmud of Moshe Feinstein a little bit. And then he's the rabbi of one of the young Israels in Flatbush for many years. And he a PhD in economics from NYU, and he taught, and he was the chair of the economics department in NYU for a long time. One of these like quintessential old school Torah Mada figures.
Yeah.
So he wrote several books on the theme of economics and Jewish law. And I have a few of them here. No, but Noah, did you get to read the article, the Levine article?
Looked at it a little bit, but didn't get to read most of it.
Yeah, it's a very dense piece. It's almost his writing is like impossible to work through. I don't know if anybody else had that experience. Right. It's like, yeah, it's tortuous. Cole, you shaking your head?
Yeah, tortured, not tortuous.
Yeah. It's tortured. Okay. Tortured to read through, you could say that.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
It's okay. It is right.
I thought you could say tortuous, but
tortuous means it, like a staircase would be tortuous.
Ah.
Or a maze would be tortuous.
Interesting. Very difficult to read through. And like his project, I think, is problematic. His project like tries to reduce a lot of these halachos into economic terms. And you just have to buy into the methodology or even the substantive philosophical commitment that the halacha is concerned about these economic considerations, which to my mind is just so dubious and implausible. And then as a project, it's dubious and implausible. And then when you read the thing, it's like the nail in the coffin that the project is dubious and implausible. So you, like, I read this piece, like you read it and you're like, wow, that can't be what Baltashkes is about. But we'll talk about it in a few minutes. Evan, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, it was really interesting. Like the first few, like just describes like economic things and then just like goes to try to like fit different opinions into the economic theory. Because it's like a little backwards from, I think, like what normally
happens. That's exactly
happens.
Right. That's all his pieces are like, oh, here's some economic principle. And then it's like, let me show you how the Sigyas are trying to realize that economic principle. So you have to buy into the method that like Eda Halacha is like designed around these economic considerations. And then like then even like more implausible is that it's like the particular economic assumptions of like classical economics, of like 20th century economic theory. We'll see that like in this article for sure. Ajin, you have a hand before we get into it again?
Yeah, like similar to that, like I thought some of the comparisons that he made between some principles and like were fair, but he was writing like I was gonna ask like who is this guy? Does everyone agree with him? Because he was very certain about a lot of his conclusions, obviously the Meiri is 100%, like based on this Meiri, we can say it with 100% certainty that you wouldn't be able to do this very complex business practice, like based on like complex market economies, based on like this one Meiri in Kiddushin or whatever. Okay, like yes. It's an idea, but like
Correct. There's no...
I didn't mind the idea, but it...
There's very bad signaling. He doesn't signal properly to tell you. So now I'm working with this one Shita of the Meiri, right? And within this view of the Meiri, here's what you might get, but note that the Meiri is a Shitas Yachid, right? It's not clear, like, what he's trying to do with the radical Shitas that he's leaning on. Yeah.
And also, like, aligning really complex, like being a loss leader and stuff like that, which is, like, a super like, there's a million different things going into it, and be like, oh, like, we can reduce it down to this one specific category, and, like, yeah, say that it's Osir.
Correct. I mean, and as Cole points out in the chat here, yes, I mean, the English is just really impossible to work through. Cole, is that, you're glancing at it? Yeah.
Yeah, I refuse. Sorry. Okay.
All right, so let's start. I want to make a few points on our the Gemar Malacha Chiddush of the Rambam, and then I want to get into the economic efficiency discussion of it. And then we'll get into Poel Ochel Mishalo and Mishal Balabayas. So here's screen share. The thing we closed with, or our last discussion, was the Rambam's Chiddush that a Poel is only Ochel Kishe Yigmar Avodaso, when he finishes doing some quanta of work for the Baal HaBayis. The Rambam said in Yud Beis Beis, Kigon sheyivtzer v'yitein b'sal ad sheyimalenu v'yinafetz hasal l'makom acher. So if the worker is filling up a basket full of grapes and then he's pouring out the basket into some larger container and he repeats this process over again. So eino ochel, Ella ad achar sheyimali hasal. The worker's entitlement only kicks in when he completes filling up a basket. And of course, the other Rishonim were very upset by this. They thought, you know, the Ravid said leidati me'ayinze, and all the Chachmei Svard of the Ramban's Beis Medrash jump on board with that criticism of the Rambam. But the substantive chiddush is that the worker's entitlement kicks in only after he's completed some amount of work for the Baal HaBayis. In halacha Gimel, the next halacha, the Rambam motivates this with Gzeiras HaKasev. He says, "Vatal mimlachto v'ochel o she'ochel shelo b'shas gemar melacha." If the worker eats food before he's finished some amount of labor for the Baal HaBayis, he's over below sase. He cites v'cher meish lo sanif. Mipi ha'shmu alamdu she'kol zman she'hu osik b'ktsira lo yanif cher meish la'achi laso. He thinks that this, you could get this gzeiras ha'kasev that implies that so long as you're still osik b'ktsira shel bal habayis, you have no entitlement to eat for yourself. That's the gzeiras ha'kasev that the Rambam here introduces. Now, I think... Let me ask you guys, how do you understand the Rambam's position? Like, if you just had to describe it, how would you make sense of the Rambam's view? Cole, were you unmuting?
Yeah, I mean, he thinks that the, I guess that the relevant, did you use the phrase unit of labor is coming to my mind? Is that because you just used it?
I used quanta, but yeah, unit's fine.
Oh, fine. Okay. I guess the idea is that you might have thought that what gives you the right to eat of the fruit is your participation in like a particular act of you know, transiting the fruit from, you know, attached to the ground to you know, detached from the ground. So what the Rambam is suggesting is that actually, and that would be like this, what we were talking about maybe a week ago is this like quasi Kenyan Chazaka or Kenyan Hagba. That's like the intuition behind it. But what the Rambam is doing is he's routing the right of the Poel to eat through his prior duties to the Baal HaBayis to be like a productive worker. Or something exactly. Like that.
That's exactly right. I think, okay. Right. Well put. I think what the Rambam is doing here, at least on one interpretation, is as Cole says, that like the Poel's entitlement has to be generated through completing work for the Bahá'ís. Like, you did what you're supposed to, you satisfied at least some measure of your obligation to the Bahá'ís, that entitles you to some zchus achila. So the zchus achila almost comes after you've done some work for the employer. It's like earned through the labor completed almost. That's one way you could read the Rambam. I just want to mention another possibility. And this gets back to what Zechariah was reading in the Rambam last time, that the Rambam seems to group this with Hamevata Mimalachto. Hamevata Mimalachto V'Ochel, O She'Ochel Shelo B'Sha'as Gemar Malacha. I wonder if there's a way of reading the requirement or the limitation of the Achilas HaPoel to Gemar Malacha as being a concern that he shouldn't be distracted or mevatel mimalachto when he's supposed to be working, that he's really noshing on the side. And so the requirement is not so much that he, as Cole was saying, that he has to earn his entitlement to eat. You know, maybe in principle there's an entitlement to eat throughout, but it's overridden by the counter consideration of we don't want him to mevatel mimalachto shabal habayis. And that's why this formulation of the Gzeres HaKasev works nicely with that. Kol zman shehu osik b'ktzira lo yanif chermesh l'achilasa. We don't want this conflict of him doing stuff for himself while he's supposed to be doing the Bahá'ís stuff. And that's why the eating rite gets limited to shas gemar malacha. So I'm actually open to both readings of the Rambam. I don't have a strong view on which reading is correct. I would just say that in Halacha Beis, you get the formulation that is Eino Ocha Ala Kishi Yigmar Avodaso Arachar Shiyamali Hasal. In Halacha Gimel, you get the formulation that he shouldn't, at least in the second line here, he shouldn't be eating Kol Zman Shehu Osek Biktzira. And so I'm on the fence, you can see here in my parentheses, about whether the underlying principle here is that the zechus achila has to be earned through completion of a unit of labor, or if the idea is that the poel's eating rights shouldn't come in conflict with the malacha that he's supposed to be doing for the Bahá'ís, so it's really a bittul malacha concern. I think those are two ways of understanding the Rambam's chiddush here. So let's take the hands and Adin and then Yakir.
Yeah, so I definitely I agree with especially the diuk you're making in Halacha Gimel, which is also you said is intention slightly with his focus on Halacha Bet, but we could to undercut maybe the connection between Hamavat and Milachta, we could look at the next, you could say that that's grouped more closely together linguistically than the after the comma v'chein Paul Shaholi Biyadim Mashasa. So those are clearly so those are clearly violations of unearned benefit that you're taking advantage of. So you could say that that's a separate category followed by the chain or something like that. If you group it with the stuff after it, it kind of undercut it, we would make a different deal if we group it with the stuff before. So maybe we just have to say that there's no compelling, connection to make between, you just say, okay, all of these are things when the poel doesn't do the right thing and maybe because of different reasons.
Yeah, it's interesting. So is the vechein here is the relationship between the vechein and the prior stuff a different, are they more different than the O? Right? So is the relationship between the two disjuncts here similar or different from the relationship between this conjunct and the conjunct, right? The conjunction of the vechein. Yeah, that's interesting. It's an interesting question. Yeah, good point. Here.
Yeah, I prefer that whatever explanation we give of the Rambam be sensitive to the distinction between Talish and Mechubar. And I think neither explanation we've said so far really explains why this Kiddush should be limited to Mechubar.
So do you think it's limited to Mechubar?
Yeah. I mean, he says so, right? How is a mechubar kombotzer kotzer? Inu ocha lag shigmar avodasa.
Ah, Anything someone who's ochel betalush could eat bishas malacho?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's interesting. You'd expect the Rambam, like, why isn't the Rambam more explicit about that? Which seems to the fact that he...
You don't think so?
Right. See, I thought that... So I think this Nigmar Malachto means something different than Kishigmar Avodaso here. I mean, I thought this is like Nigmar Malachto Lemaiser.
Right.
And this is about the
work. Right, I don't think it means something different.
You think it's the same thing?
I think that's a much cleaner reading of the Rambam if you assume it's the same thing. Like, I don't know why you would, I don't know why you would read it as something different.
Well, because here...
Malachto is referring to the malacha of the fruit, and Avodaso exactly. is referring to the task of the worker.
Different subjects. This here, the subject of this is the peros, nigmar malachto shelam.
Okay, bedavar. Oh, shit, right.
And yeah. Here the subject is the worker finishing his avoda. But I mean, your diak might still hold because Ram does say ha'osa b'machubar eino ochel k'shigmar avodaso. So maybe it may not depend about whether you distinguish between nigmar malachto and yigmar avodaso, because either way, this is qualified by osa b'machubar.
Yeah, I think that's right. That I think either way, it's that it is limited to machubar.
Yeah, so do you have a theory for us why there should be a difference between Mechubar and Talush with respect to Gemar of Odessa?
I mean, no, I don't have a good explanation. I think this is like a, I think this is a big sticking point in understanding the Rambam, though. My suggested direction would be focus more on the fact that he needs to be taking from Caleb Shabbat Avais in some sense. And for some reason, that's the important point, not the amount of labor he's put in. And so in Telish, where it already starts off in Kelel Shabbat Avayis, it's already okay.
Interesting. But what if the Poel didn't do any work yet in Telish? In the Telish case, right? So he, I don't know. He just shows up to knead the bread, to knead the dough or something.
I think it sounds in the Rambam like he can, like, that's fine, even if he hasn't done any work yet.
So it's interesting to figure out why that would be.
I don't have a good explanation of it. I only think maybe, I mean, if you focus on the importance of Caleb Shabbat Bias, it's already in Caleb Shabbat Bias before he even starts working in the Telish case.
Right. And then why is Caleb Shabbat Bias so significant?
Right. I don't have a good explanation why Dafka Caleb Shabbat Bias would be significant as opposed to just growing the Balabais' land. I don't feel like I have a good explanation of that.
I'm gonna look into that. I wasn't sensitive to that diak, but I definitely hear the diak here, most of the Mechubar, and then we'd want to know why it's limited to Mechubar. Very, very good point. I mean, one thing is the Xeris HaKasav might be limited. You know, the Xeris HaKasav that the Rambam invokes in Halacha Gimel is Kol Zman Shehu Osek B'Ktzira Lo Yanef Chemrish L'Achilaso. So maybe, but then we'd want to see, like, you know, if there's something beyond that. Very good point. Just again, the Magen Mishnah said that the Gemara Malacha for the Rambam is Mishen Esmali Hasal. So that's why these units of Malacha that get completed. And I want to point just again to Mr. Zalman Meltzer in the Evan Azel here, where I think he offers these two different interpretations of the Rambam. He's mesupak, like, whether you could read the Rambam as holding here. With Ikar Mashakasa Magid Mishnah, the Gemar Malacha, who Mishen Ismale Hasal, Lo Bier Taimo Shal Davari. So the Magid Mishnah doesn't explain why we define Gemar Malacha as, you know, filling up the basket. Beginning with Divya Magid Mishnah Magid, the Ikar Mili Hasal, who Tnai Beheter Achilaso. I think it's an interesting point. He's trying to say that for the Magad Mishnah, it's like the Kol's, it's like Kol's reading of the Rambam, that it's a matir, that you have to first finish the, you have to fill up a basket in order to generate the heder. It's like a condition that has to be satisfied in order for you to have the right to eat. And then he says, well, how do we know that this isn't referring to finishing all the malacha? Yefshar lomar de kavanaso achar sheyismalu kol hasalim, deimken lo yochal ad sof hayom, v'al poel ochel b'shas malacha. V'al karchok de kavanaso de ochel achar miloi kol sal, v'zman achila tzarch lomar de zok sheminafetz hasal l'makam acher. So he's just trying to, his point here is that there has to be this way of dividing units of labor that allow you to eat. Otherwise, the poel would always be pushed off until the end of the day. But then he backtracks a little bit, which I think is interesting. And he offers this other interpretation of the Rambam. V'nira debir debir Rambam hu ba'ofen acher. Demasha kostav ha-Rambam de'enu ochel achar che'ismali ha-sal. Eno mishum de'mili ha-sal hu geder b'gmar malacha. It's not that you've finished some quantity of labor that now allows you to eat. Elamishum de cholzvan shalonis mali hasal hare osik hapoel biktzira obitlisha. The poel is considered to be engaged in labor so long as he hasn't finished this filling up the sal, and that's cholzvan shu osik biktzira. He has no right to eat. Umizel lama de hamivata mi malachto va'achal hare is over below sase. And so the idea, again, as he summarizes below, is mishum shekolzman shu osik biktzira aser lechol. I think Rabbi Zalman here is moving into the second theory, which is that your eating rights can't come bisha'a that you're engaged in malachas balabai. It's closer to Zechariah's read, that there's like a bitul malacha concern here. There's like, that you can't have the clash between your duty to the balabayas to do malacha and you're right to eat. So we have two hands here, Yakir, and then Adin.
Yakir? Right, mine was an old hand.
Great, put it down for you. I'll put it down for you.
Sure. This might have been, Yakir, this might have, I might have missed what you were, your explanation of the Mechubar Talush distinction, but like, just like the idea of, it seems like you could argue that if we want to go with Evan's approach, that I imagine that like working with mechubar is more, pausing from your mechubar work might be more bitterly than pausing from your, like the talish work, it's on the table, it's around, whereas like if it's mechubar, then like that seems like a more involved, or at least requires both hands, something like that. I don't know, maybe that's but like that, like osik b'ktzira, that like he's really like it's that if to eat would really be an undoing of the of like of really be bitul malacha, or is like in part of, he's kneading the dough. Okay, so you can grab a little piece, grab a something like that. Maybe it's not as inherently like bitul malacha. I don't know if
that makes sense. I would say that you're betraying your ignorance of cooking, but I feel like you do cook. No,
I do all the cooking for Shabbos. That's true.
So yeah, so
but it means I parent less. So there's always a trade-off.
I feel like it's like a difficult empirical thing to actually. I don't really know.
I just remember like in the Joseph and the was it the Prince of Egypt movie about Joseph, King of Dreams, and all the farmers like walking through the field and they're carrying the bags and the scythe and everything like that. Maybe that's more like, I don't know. Ask a farm.
We'd have to call in the specialists here who like could attest to these things. Zachary, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you take that kind of the more Xeris Akasa, that there's just a Isser to take Bashas Ksira, either you want to stay behind that is some idea that's more bitul or not. But that does naturally give the din that there's a difference between Mechubar and Talush, because, you know, there's just no Katsira happening by Talush, so therefore you're allowed to eat the entire time you're involved with Talush. If you want to say there's some sort of general, like, you have to earn your keep, because you have to get some work done before you eat, I don't see that there's any natural distinction between Mechubar and Talush. But I think, like, this Evan Uzzel is very, I think, fits very neatly into that kind of arbitrary distinction.
interesting. So implies
an arbitrary restriction.
It's interesting. So you're saying if the issue here is completion of units of labor that generate the entitlement to achila, that should be invariant across talish and mechubar. But if the underlying issue here is the clash with your maisa malacha to the bala bayis, so it makes sense to talk about there's this thing called ktsira that blocks you from achila, right? And then you're saying that's going to be less easily transposed to a talish case. Like you're saying there's no chalos of cooking or kneading, something like that. It's no chalos lisha.
Like harvesting the 4 cups of flour from the bag or whatever, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting. I hear.
What is a big sakana if you don't count out loud when you're doing, just from experience? Just
right.
So I don't know.
Absolutely correct. Achas
Ishtar. Right. I hear the suggestion. It's a nice chiluk. I want to mention one more thing here along relevant to this sugya about whether the poel, this is more about the, so we'll talk about these two different aspects now in turn about, is there a possible makor for the poel having to earn his entitlement to eat, or is it automatic when he comes into the place to work, etc.? So just to finish these units of labor or not. And then the second question about the bitul malacha part of the sugya. So let's first talk about the earning the entitlement. I think it's interesting to look at this sugya on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says that poel could be ochel kisho safilo bedinar, it could be ochel koseva safilo bedinar. That just means that he could eat even these really fancy fruits on the job. He doesn't have to worry about the cost to the bala bayis and what he's consuming. And then we get Rabbi Lazar Chasma, who says lo yochal poel yeser al scharo, but Chacham Matir, Machlokas, you already saw, that whether the Poel could even eat more than his compensation. Let's say his contract's worth $50, could eat $100 worth of food. And the Gemara ends up saying that there's a Machlokas between Tanakam and Chachamim here, Rav Asi. So Rav Asi's view is going to be an afkamina between the Chachamim and the Tanakama. And Rav Asi's view is twofold. Part A is afilu lo sachra el liftzar eshkel echad ochlo. So let's say you're hired to harvest a single grapefruit. Can the poel consume the entire thing that he was hired to work on? Pretty inefficient labor agreement, right? If he's allowed to. But Rav Asi thinks you can, right? Afilu lo sachra el liftzar eshkel echad ochlo. And Rav Asi also says, afilu lo batzar ela eshkel echad ochlo. Let's say you're hired to harvest a lot of grapefruits. You could eat already the first one that you harvest. So sounds like Rav Asi is denying that you have to complete quanta of labor for the bala bayis before you consume it for yourself. So any thoughts just on Rav Asi's view in and of itself before we get to the Rishonim's comments on this? So, but I think Rav Asi is, as a shita, it's pretty clear that he's against the first reading of the Rambam. Because the idea is, right, A, you don't have to do any malacha for the bala bayis first. You could start eating right away. And secondly, your achila could consume the entire thing that you were supposed to produce for the bala bayis. Adin?
Yeah, this might be like an extreme application of like kind of like the Tsar Balei Chaim like morally instructive piece we saw much earlier, that like if what's at the core is like it's cruel to make someone work on food without having a share in it, then it doesn't really, like, okay, so you should have hired him to do more to pick more than one grapefruit, but you can't withhold him from that grapefruit that he's working on. Obviously throwing efficiency to the wind, but like that seems, I was wondering, like the Rambam seemed a little bit in, or at least Cole's reading of the Rambam.
You think so? Then I would have thought differently. I would have thought that, you know, if I'm working in Golan, then like you can't expect me to be surrounded by like all the food and not to eat it. But if you ask me to pick up food for you, Like you asked
on the me, contrary, that's the
shawarma. A single shawarma for you. Like I was like, oh, I'm sorry I ate it. It just looked so good. You know, I mean, I, whatever. I mean,
but like the, like I, it's a, an extreme application of like, if a, like if a person is around food or if a laborer is around food, then like, then that relationship like generates a, like a liberty because, and presumably because of the, like, whether it's like the economic involvement or maybe I guess maybe you could say it's the economic involvement, not just the like moral involvement. But like, but we can, but that principle is strong enough that we can, that it overrides like any understandings of efficiency or fairness. That's at least what, and like, and Cole's reading of the Rambam seemed rather inconsistent with any of those approaches that we're seeing this as like a moral thing, that like, see, that seemed much more transactional, that like you generate a, your labor generates a chiyuv only when it's finished, seems hard to like, seems difficult to square with, like you seem, you should have some sort of claim in this while you're dealing with it because of the low toxin question or something.
I think it's hard to know. I think it's hard to get from like such a broad question of like what, like, you know, is tzav alechayim versus, it's hard. I think it's, the intuitions are hard. It's hard for me to figure out how any of those would determine this question. I think, like, I think the best route here, if you say something like Yakir's reading of like the Rav Hirsch, maybe, you know, it's like, oh, the Torah is like mafkir the property right, so that, you know, it's like divided away, it's taken away from the Baal Bayis. You know, maybe that would explain why the Baal Bayis would lose everything. But I think it's hard to know exactly how any of these would bear on this kind of unique case where there's only an Eshkol Echad. That's my reaction, I think. I don't know where anybody else falls down on this question. But I do want to say that, the Cole, do you have a thought on this? Or?
Yeah, I agree with you. It would be astounding if, yeah, I don't think it's really possible to square Rav Asi with the Rambam. We don't paskin like Rav Asi.
Yeah, so I want to just talk a little bit about this Rav Asi Shita for a second. And I want to make three points here. So number one, the Shita Mekubetzes on Tzadi Beis Amid Aleph says that according to Rav Asi, it's Pashat D'Mishel Shamayim Hu Ochel. So like he says, there's no way to reconcile Rav Asi with a Mishalo Hu Ochel view. This has got to be some like special Zechus that the Torah creates. Midika Amar Afilu Sachar Elipsar Echalach Eshkol Echad Ochel, Umukmina the Achile Kule, meaning the worker could actually consume the entire grapefruit that he was hired to produce. The Leka Lememar Lemetan Lekelev Shabal Habayas. And, you know, there is, I guess, no putting it into the Kli of the Baal Habayas at all, right? He's consuming the entire thing. And therefore, v'haleka misha lo klal, dila atzmo batzar, v'lo lebal habayis. Something about, like, what do you think that Shinuk Betzis is saying here? I mean, he's saying two things for sure. He's saying, A, that the worker could consume the entire thing, and B, that this has got to be within the view that the poel's right is mishel shamayim hu ochel, because nothing is being generated for the Baal HaBayis, right? There's no Mishalo Klal. Is he interpreting Mishalo here as Mishel Baal HaBayis? Is that the standard reading of Mishalo Hu Ochel in that discussion?
I thought you could say that, like, that this reading of Mishalo is that, like, if you're saying it's Mishalo, then it's generated via the Baal HaBayis. If I'm eating my own thing, it's because this belongs to the Baal HaBayis and my relationship with the Baal HaBayis generates this liberty right or something like that. But the fact that this is never even entering the Baal HaBayis's like wallet or like bottom line, because it goes straight from the field into my mouth, means it must be not mine, because if it's mine, it might have to have been the Baal HaBayis first.
So I think what you're saying is exactly, basically directly opposed to the Cole reading of the Rambam, meaning it's Mishalohu Ochel would mean that you earn your entitlement to this through laboring for the Baal HaBayis, right? So it's, there's got
to be his first.
Exactly. You do some lemeitan lekelev shel bal habayis. You do some labor for the bal habayis. That generates your claim to the eshkol. But v'hal leka mishelo klal, but there's no performance on behalf of the bal habayis, right? You're not getting it through your contribution to the bal habayis at all. Therefore, it's got to be purely a zchus mishel shamayim, like an entitlement that you're giving, absolutely distinct from like the bal habayis's contract with you, something like that. Or absolutely distinct from the labor that you're contributing for the bal habayis. Does that make sense? As a reading of the sheet Nukubet says here? What do you think? I think that's a good reading. So then the point is that Mishel Shemayim or Mishalohu Ochel is a question of whether the Poel's right has to come through the contribution to the bal habayis in some way. Does that make sense? Yeah, Noah, it sounds good? Good. Yakir, that sounds good to you? Okay. Notice the base of the Meiri takes issue with this. The Meiri rereads the case in the Gemara. For the Shita, it's a case where the Poel is Ochel es Kule. So there's no benefit accruing to the Baal HaBayis at all. The Meiri says, Afilu lo niskar Poel ze el livtzer eshkol echad. Ochel ha-Poel mimenu. V'yesh mefarshim Ochel es Kulo. V'eino nira. So the Meiri takes this case to be a case where the Poel's contracted to harvest a single grapefruit. That generates an entitlement for him to break off one grapefruit. So you could peel the grapefruit and eat one slice of it, but you can't consume the entire thing. That would be irrational, right? There's got to be, even within this view of Ravasi, the Meiri is arguing, there's got to be some contribution to the Baal HaBayis in order to justify the Poel's chus achila. And I think that's why the Meiri limits it to Ochel Poel mimenu against the views that say he's Ochel es kulo. So I think that's exactly what the Meiri is countering, right? He doesn't like, I guess, even the suggestion of the Shita Mekubetzes that there could be an entitlement of the Poel where he's not producing anything on behalf of the Baal HaBayis. Yeah? That sound right? Zachary, you have a thought on this?
Not particularly. That seems to be like what he's saying here. That's fitting with Rambam.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in this, I think the other important insight that the Meiri makes here is in the second din of Ravasi, Sachar Livtzar Karmo, Mikivan Shebatzar Eshkol Echad, Yochal Lahatzchil Velechol, That's the second Chiddush Ravasi. And I think the Meiri is right to point out that Gedolei HaMechabrim Nira Shepasku Behepech, that the Rambam's view is directly opposed to that second din of Ravasi, that if you're hired to be Botzer, a whole pardes, a whole orchard, the Rambam thinks you have to complete quanta of, or some units of labor for the Baal HaBayis first before you could eat. Ravasi's view seems to say that the Poel's entitlement is right away, which is against the Rambam's substantive conclusion. Okay, one more hara just on this issue of Ravasi is the Drisha here writes, I think, I'm not sure if this is so intuitive. He says it's obvious Kishelo sachro ela lekishos echad, v'hu achlo she'ein tzarech litein lo scharo. So suppose Adin hires me to pick like a watermelon, and I end up eating the entire thing. So according to Ravasi, that's okay, right? In the Shita Kubetzes's view, that's I guess Mishel Shomayim v'ochel. But the Drisha says that disentitles me to my compensation. I forfeit my compensation because I produce no work on behalf of the Baal HaBayis. That's the Drisha's Chiddush. Like I can't have my cake and eat it too. I can't have my salary and also eat the sole thing that I was hired to produce for the employer. thoughts on this? On the Drisha's, this sound intuitive, Evan?
It's intuitive, but it's also sort of against the grain of the whole point of Sukhila. Whatever you take it to be.
Yeah, like it's, you know, here, are we saying that there is an employment agreement or not, right? And if there is no employment agreement, why is there, if the eating vitiates the employment agreement, but you're hired to do work, then why is there a chosachila, right? Why is there a chosachila altogether? And if the employment agreement is still intact, then why do you lose your entitlement to compensation? So it's kind of interesting that you could bifurcate these two issues. You're a poel in yam zchus achila, but the drisha says, "Oh, it's pashit that you're not a poel in the sense that you're not entitled to compensation anymore."
Yeah, I agree with that. Is there any way to square this? I've been like trying but failing to say, like, no, we say your zchus achila doesn't get subtracted from your pay stub at the end of the day. So,
it
like,
does or does not.
Is there any way to make does not?
Right, it doesn't. Right, it does not.
So, is there any way to square this with that?
Yeah, he's saying there's a difference. It doesn't get subtracted, but that's assuming that you made some labor contribution for the Bala Bias. If you made no substantive contribution in labor for the Bala Bias, then you're not entitled to be paid because what did you do for the guy? So, you know, this reminds me of like the variation of like the Issi Ben Yehuda din. Like, you know, good, Akira's nodding his head, right? It's like, we're just trying to figure out like whether you have like an entitlement to be here. Like as the Rambam said, like if you weren't hired as a worker, like what are you doing b'kerem reyecha? So here, like you were hired, that gives you the license to be there. That is really what generates the zchus achila. And like the fact that you're not considered a poel inyan compensation is because, yeah, you didn't do any work and you're not really a poel with respect to that, but you are a poel just with respect to your license to be here. And that's what generates the achila, right?
It's, yeah, I like that because I was wondering, like, if you, it sounds like what you're saying, it should be that your employment is like lima freya, never existed, and you should have to pay for the watermelon that you ate, and that, exactly. That's the, like, but that makes sense that it generates that you can generate this close, and then just at the end of the day, oh, you were into polo in the end,
exactly. Absolutely. Precisely, and I think this is all very much against the Rambam, you know, Cole's reading of the Rambam. That like, no, part of what gives you the license to eat is that you made, like you were no Sam Kelly of Shalbala Bias and you're a Gomer Malachto, now you could eat. This stuff seems to be saying, no, Zchus Achila is really independent of that. You're both there, Eshkol Echad, and you eat the entire thing, you still have a Zchus Achila, even though you're not a pole in compensation. Noah, you have a comment?
Yeah, it's sort of like how, I don't know, I'm thinking like at like the next line of like how it fits in with like the Poel Ochel Yosher Mischiroso, which is sort of like over here, it's like, yeah, you're breaking even, and he says you wouldn't get paid. So that's sort of like weird to fit in with like that, you know, the idea that you could actually cost the Bala Bias like a ton of money and be like a net negative for the Bala Bias, and yet you would still get paid.
Yeah. That makes me think it's not about the, like, it's not about like a rational, so if Rabbi Levine were analyzing this, you would say, oh, it's like, it's a question of like, is this a rational deal for the Bala Bias, right? Are his profits, does he have some profit, right? Are his revenue exceeding his costs, kind of thing. But you see, that's not the case here. It seems to be more about whether there's, are you a shame poel? So if you're working, even if it's super inefficient, right, you're still considered a poel.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's weird within like the, it's like within the way that the Drisha puts it. It's like it's. I don't know. I'm surprised that you would be considered that, like you wouldn't be considered the way that you're putting it. It's sort of like the Drisha saying, yeah, you're not considered a poel if you eat exactly what you produce, but you would be considered a poel if you actually ate more than you produced, but you just put away like what you produced, like, you know, and put it somewhere else or something like that.
So I would say it's not, oh, sorry. I would say a little differently. I would say, right. Correct. Well, this is an interesting question. What does this mean? Mutter lechel yoser mischiruso.
sort of like we care about the it's like we care about the ban of what you produced rather than like what the like the value was.
Yeah. It's like did you do labor for the Baha bias? So if you were hired for like the set of objects you were hired to produce is like one eshkol, and you consume it, so like your contribution to the Baha bias is like the null set, right? It's nothing. So that vitiates your shame poel. But like if you were hired to like produce like a set of objects, and like you produce those, but then you happen to consume a set that's more valuable, right, or more objects than the set you were hired to do, we don't say that like just the costs like offset each other. Like we, so that I think that's the distinction that he has in mind. Right. Good. Any other thoughts on this before we go to the Bitul Melacha discussion? So I do think this is very helpful for trying to pin down some of the differences we saw at the outset of like, is this more in the Issi ben Yehuda idea? The Torah just wants to mafgir the property right of the Baal HaBayis. It's less significant whether you make a substantive labor contribution. That was like Issi ben Yehuda's shita in the extreme. Any trespasser has the right to eat, kisavu b'kerem riacha. But then I think here you get a more moderate variation on that, the idea being, let's say you were hired as a poel, just you didn't make an efficient contribution to the Baal HaBayis, do you still have that zchus achila? So for the Rambam saying, no, you have to first make contributions to the Baal HaBayis to earn your zchus. Rav Asi says, you do have a right to eat even before you make any contribution to the Baal HaBayis. In some versions of Rav Asi, namely the Shita Mekubetzes, you have an entitlement to eat even if you fully consume the thing that you produce for him. Right? You had license to be there. It's an irrational agreement, but that's sufficient to generate your entitlement. In the Meiri's reading of it, that's not the case. In the Meiri's reading, even within Rav Asi, you have to make some contribution to the Baal HaBayis, i.e. 3/4 of an eshkol or 9/10 of an eshkol in order to generate your achila entitlement. And then the Drisha, you know, kind of has this other view, which is closely related. You have to, as long as you have some shame poel, that's significant for your to eat. But if you vitiate your shame poel altogether by not contributing anything to the Baal HaBayis, then you wouldn't be, you'd have a zchus achila, even though you wouldn't have an entitlement to compensation. Okay, good. Any other comments on this part of the discussion? All right, great. So I want to now get into the Bitul Melacha discussion, which is the second leg of the Rambam, the second reading of the Rambam, which is how Zechariah was suggesting we read it. So I'm going to go back here to this part of the discussion, the Din Hashev Aveda Labailim. Now, I think this sugya here is very fascinating in that it's one of the few cases, at least that I'm aware of, where the halacha seems to be very cognizant of Bitul Melacha as a value. I don't know, I mean, any of you have seen this idea like come up in like other cases? Is this like a prevalent concern that you see of that the halacha is worried about? A bitul melachto shabala bayis, hashiv aveda labailim. I think this discussion comes very close to quasi-efficiency considerations, right? Are the workers working efficiently enough for the employer?
Just like the fact that the Gra only cites this sugya, I can take that as evidence that it doesn't come up anywhere else.
Yeah, isn't that great? Like when the Shulchan Aruch cites this idea that a poel has to work efficiently, he cites this sugya as the paradigm. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Scraping the bottom of the barrel here. Meaning, or at least if there's a sugya that speaks to this as a value, it's this sugya, right? Notice, this sugya doesn't feature in Aroy Levine's analysis of economic efficiency in Jewish law. I don't think he mentions the Zuchus Achila at all. He mentions the Rambam about the Poel, not he mentions the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, but I don't think he mentions the Zuchus Achila to show the economic efficiency considerations. But
like the Chacham Amarshim position kind of thing.
The Chacham Amarshim and even the Sugya itself saying that we tinker with the Deoraisa laws in order to make the Poel more productive. It's like, to me, that's if there's a raya out there for the halacha being interested in economic efficiency, it's the willingness in this sugya to revise the Torah's rights, the rights the Torah gives to the Poel. So I would think that's a good piece of evidence. But you know, Rabin doesn't even cite this. Shua, do you know, are you familiar with the Levine stuff at all, Shua?
I read one of his books once and I skimmed this article, but just like, yeah, it's a hard read. What's that?
No, definitely. You know, Ari Lam was the editor of a lot of these series. So all these books are published by Ktav and Yeshiva. You can see at the bottom, it's officially like a YU. So Ari Lam is the series editor for like a lot of these. You can see here on the forward is signed by Ari Lam, you can see. And basically they all say the same thing. And all the introductions Ari Lam writes. And basically in each one it says like, who knew the dismal science could be so lively? Economics is like always called the dismal science. But then you read the book and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so impossible to work through. You know, it's like who knew the dismal science could be so dismal? That's my reaction when I read it. All right, so I'm not gonna critique the article that much. But let's look at the Hasheva Veda Labailim part of the discussion. So we have the Gemara, the Mishnah on Tzadi Aleph from the Beis. The Mishnah tells us, V'chulon shelo amrela b'shas malacha. So Noah, why don't you tell us what's going on here in this last phrase of the Mishnah? What's going on? You're muted, Noah.
Right, so the Mishnah is saying, the beginning of the Mishnah is saying, if you're eating betainim, so if you're working with the figs, you can't eat the grapes. If you're working with the grapes, you can't eat the figs. But you can, you know, sort of hold back on your appetite until you get to what you want to eat. And all of these that we said that you're able to eat, it's only, I guess, going like Rav Rishonim's explanation of the Mishnah. it's only actually while you're doing labor, but because of this like concept that the Chachamim wanted, and I'm translating here as the Chachamim wanted to sort of, you know, conserve the money of the Bailim or somehow like give back, make sure that the Bailim don't get taken too much from, you know, meaning they get their, you know, what they hired in labor. So the Chachamim said that the Poelin should eat from, you know, while they're walking from row to row, and while they're, you know, returning from the wine press.
Yeah, great. So the substantive legal point here is what? Midoraisa, the poel's chus achila is when?
You know, while he's actually working.
Yeah. Bishashu, as Rashi says, Bishashu osek b'mlacha. Right, that's the Doraisa entitlement. And Rashi here even says, Veloshe yeshev lo v'yochal, lomar hare manati atzmi, adkan lo batalti lechol, achshav eshev li v'ochal. Right, the worker shouldn't say, hey, I worked so hard, now I'm going to take a lunch break. No, midoraisa, like there's no entitlement to the lunch break. Midoraisa, the zechus achila is only like while you're, as Cole would say, while you're fine, right? While you're engaged in the action of fine.
On what?
Fine. The Roman.
Oh, the Greek.
The Greek letter?
Greek.
Yeah. So like while you're working, that action is what gives you the license to eat while you're working. It doesn't carry over, right? It's not like there's no rain check. It's not like you didn't eat while you're working so you could eat afterwards. You have to be engaged in labor in order to have this chus achila. So that's midoraisa. Correct? This is the standard reading of the Mishnah. But because of this concern of Hashev Aveda Lebailim, so Amru, I assume, as Noah said, is the Chachamim, they tinkered with the rule to be what? in order shelo yivata mimalachto v'yochal, so in order that a worker not be mevata from his malacha, okay, they said that he could work in between the rows, right? So munch on the food while you're walking from one row of the vineyard to the next row. Mido raisa, there's no entitlement to eat, Rashi says. Afagavta he shaita lav shas malachahi. Still, we grant the zechus achila then because it's nichale labal habayis b'ha. It's more beneficial for the bal habayis because now the polim won't be mevata mimalachtam while they eat. Is that right? Yeah. So this is pretty striking. So you have the dindo raisa is the entitlement is only b'shas malacha. Midrabanan, it sounds, and tell me if I'm wrong, it sounds like Midrabanan, they prohibit the worker from eating b'shas malacha, right? And they say, so there's two things going on in the Takana Drabanan. A, it's usher to eat b'shas malacha, that's ashle yivata mimalachto, and B, you're licensed to eat kishaholchin bein oman la'oman, when you're walking between the rows of the vineyard.
Yeah, I think so. There's one, I forget who, but somebody said that there's only the latter heter, but I think that you know, that was how we read it.
Yeah, this like the simple shot here seems to be that they were not just adding time when you could eat, but also saying like this is when the poel ought to eat, right? Yeah, if you look here, for example, at the Meiri, he says. Well, this is an interesting formulation. We don't want the workers to be lazy, okay? So they said that the poalim should work kisha hishlimu shurazu verotim lahaska b'acheres, like once they finish one row and they start a new row. And I'm wondering if like, is part of the idea here that the chachamim tinkered with the right so that it actually incentivizes the workers to be productive by giving them the zchus achila once they're mashlim shurazu. So the idea is that if you could just eat at any point while you're working, you're not incentivized to work more productively. But if you're entitled to eat when you finish a row, then you're incentivized to be more productive, right? Oh, every time you finish a row, you get to have a little eating time. And so it actually works as like a positive incentive to get the workers to be more productive. Does that sound... what do you think? Is that a plausible reading of the Meiri? What do you think is, how do you take this? You see, in Rashi, it just sounds that the hashe aveda labaylim is shlo yivata mimlachta v'yochal. It sounds like the concern is that like they're gonna be mivata mimlacha somehow by eating. The Meiri is saying somehow if they're eating while they're working, that's gonna cause them to do their, like they're gonna be lazy, right? Behisrashlos. But if you incentivize them to eat, kisha hishlimu shura zu, then they'll be working more productively. That makes sense as a reading of the Meiri, or you think he's saying something else? What do you think, guys?
Well, usually most people don't think that the Takana asked them to eat while they're working and just provided another open opportunity. So I'm not sure.
You think so for the Meiri also?
Yeah, shim ratsu apolim shiyu ochlem yom loma. If they so desire. I think a distinction here between the Meiri and Rashi might be like, was this a gezeira because of just like the very din of the Torah, that the very din of the Torah, which allowed people to be eating with one hand and working in the other, which according to the Miri would lead to Hisrashlos. So that is what Chazal are coming for. According to Rashi, it's for people who, for workers who are abusing the system and are eating even without outside the scope of where the Torah allowed them to eat. So to avoid that kind of just other policy problem, they came. So I think like the Miri is more for in the direction of like, oh, like this, there's Torah law is very inefficient. And therefore, Chazal wanted to
Possible. I'm not sure I agree with your reading of Rashi, that Rashi is out of a concern of people abusing it. Want to walk me through your reading of Rashi to sort of show why it's... Because here, this is just normative. This is saying that there's no right to do this. That there's no right for a poel to say, I worked so hard, let me take a break. And then he's saying, in order to achieve Hashem Aveda Lebailim, so that the workers won't be Mevatal Mimalachtam and eat, so you take that to mean like they're going to stop working to eat? That's how you're translating that phrase, Zakaria?
Yeah, I might be kind of just merging it with the prior Rashi, which I see as kind of a distinct.
Right.
But yeah.
I can read this phrase as saying that, oh, it causes Bittul Melacha for them to be eating while they're producing, right? Obviously, right? It's harder to do two things at the same time. I think this first part of Rashi is distinct. It's not the reason for the takana. That's just telling that the Torah license doesn't allow you to stop working to eat. See that? The thing that I think is distinct new about the Meiri is that I'm just wondering if he's thinking that like kehishlimu shura zu. The idea is that like there's something about like completing the task that midrabanan triggers the zechus achila, and that's like a way of like incentivizing them to complete different units. But I'm not totally sure if that's the best reading of the Meiri. I hear your point about imratzu apolim, though I could read that as saying imratzu apolim, if the polim want to eat, sheyu ochlin me oman leoman.
Yeah, I don't know. The way I think we read it was more of like a sort of, it was more of like a Chachamim provide the poel with a time that sort of the Meiri's concern is that you eat while you're working, you won't work well. So the Chachamim, the Torah doesn't provide the poel with a time to work that's not actually a time to eat that's not actually, you know, while he's working. But the Chachamim, like, you know, to try to get rid of that problem, provide the poel with the time to eat that's not actually during the labor. And so then, you know, with the assumption that the poel is going to sort of take advantage of that, like, more free, you know, time, and then won't end up, you know, eating while he's working.
Right. So it's just, they're just expanding the scope of permissible eating times on the assumption that if you expand it, then workers won't eat while they're working. Right, is that the idea? Yeah. But you don't think that the Chachamim are like overriding the Torah license and saying that you can no longer eat Bishas Malacha? Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think he said that. Yeah.
The question is then, like, does the Takana really help, right? Are you really making sure of Eidel Abaylam by just opening up this other opportunity?
It's much more attractive, you know. It's, you know, instead of like having to sort of like in, you know, one hand hold a pencil doing a math problem and the other like, you know, sort of hold a burrito, like you get, you know, this, you get free time, you know, to actually like sit down and, I don't know, maybe not sit down, but like, you know, actually eat.
Yeah, kind of going on that, like part of the problem is that you can only eat Bishas Malacha. And normally during the downtime, you have now lost your right to eat. And therefore that's specifically an inefficient model.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hear that. To me, yeah, I hear that. I should look a little closer to see. I didn't see anybody who said explicitly that they ossered the Achila Bishas Malacha. Did anybody see a Fashita that's explicit on that? I didn't come across anything to that effect. But I think this is pretty interesting. So the idea is that the Torah then didn't care about the efficiency and the Chachamim just were worried about the efficiency. Is that the idea? So like the Torah kind of created this really inefficient halacha, right? It was, we're giving the zechus to the poel, come what may, to the labor of the baal, to the value for the baal bayis. Right? It's going to come at a cost to the baal bayis. And the chacham are like, oh, here's a refinement to make it efficient also. That's the Rabbanan mechanism. Gabe, you have a hand on this?
I think that this makes perfect sense. But the way I would understand this is, in order to make this practicable, or the value is created by the Torah, or the value of offering your poem a right to eat. But that would like annoy a lot of Baal Bayis. They wouldn't have efficient workers. So Chachamim allowed this to be a more practicable, implementable halacha. It's not because they're opposed to the Torah's value or they're tweaking the Torah's value. And it's not because their goal is efficiency. Efficiency is just necessary in order to make the Torah practicable.
Interesting. So it's like you're worried about like what the Mishnah said, in the Lamde Mesa Adam Shloye Rav San Vie Sose Mesa Pesach Befanav idea.
Exactly.
All right, so you're saying like this is, even our sugya is not about efficiency per se. It's about, the employers aren't going to like hire workers or whatever in the right way if it becomes too burdensome to them. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not inclined to read any of this as about efficiency, except for maybe those two words in the Rambam. But I don't see any reason to protect efficiency, given the Baal Bayis is the one calling the shots on the contract.
Okay. Not on board for the Levine analysis at all.
Oh.
Yeah, interesting. Even though you're the economics major.
I think economics is all slow, but I don't think, there are a lot of problems with the Levine analysis, but it's pretty anachronistic. He's using terms which didn't exist. Systems and like Ford assembly line wasn't around during the time as well.
Yeah, good. We're going to talk about that in a second. Okay, very interesting. I just want to mention a different way to read that phrase in the Gemara, that in the Mishnah of Kulan Shelo Amru, and this is probably how the Rambam read it based off the Rifs Girsa. Anybody volunteer to tell us about that? Rabbeinu Baruch HaSfardi's reading of that line in the Mishnah, which is the exact opposite for everyone else.
Yeah, I'm not super clear on his case, but he interprets that the Hashev Yad of the Bailim is that this is concern that the Poelim will not get to eat as much as they should, as in the Bailim in this case are the Baal HaPeros, which means in his frame is the Poelim, as in they might finish the work too early, and then since they're not Peshas Malach anymore, they won't get to eat. So therefore it allowed them to eat in these kind of intermediary zones.
Yeah, exactly. So on this view, on this girsa, by the way, this is probably the marker for the Rambam. You can see the Rif has it on Daphne Gimel. V'chulon lo amru ela b'shas gemar malacha. So you add in the word gemar, which is not in our girsa of the Mishnah, meaning the poel only has the license to eat. They're only allowed to eat when they're finishing the malacha of the Baal Bayis. Probably what the Rambam got this from. Aval mipnei hasheva veda lebailim pirish dechashinan shema yishtalim hapri b'silch hamalacha lo yehela hem achar kein ma yochu. So you're worried that if the worker could only eat, this is kind of like the Evan Azel's question on the Rambam. If you're only allowed to eat b'shas gemar malacha, they're going to finish laboring and then there's nothing left for them to eat, right? Because they'll have produced everything for the Baal Bayis. What's left for the poel? So because you could have, I guess, lots of cases where the poel's entitlement only kicks in after the labor is done, that will leave him with nothing. So Chazal tweaked the rule and said, "Poel and Ochlen b'halichasan mean makom shemaschilin livtzar b'shuros." That midrabanan, I guess they don't have to wait till they finish working; they could start eating from the beginning, right? which is like the total opposite a read of the Sugya. I think what is striking here, though, is the phrase Hashiva Veda Lebailim, as Zacharia pointed out. So for the standard reading of the Rishonim, Rashi and the Meiri, that means is like, oh, the Bala Bayis will be losing something. Right? He's losing the productivity of the workers. We want to give that productivity back to him. So Meshiv Aveda Lebailim. Here, the Meshiv Aveda Lebailim is the entitlement of the workers to eat. Right? Correct, Zacharia? So isn't it fascinating that that's characterized like a Shavas Aveda? Unless it's just a very loose usage of the phrase.
I thought the other way was more surprising.
Okay, so why is that, Noah?
Like loss of efficiency, like as like Hashavas Avida. Like here there's actually like an Avida, like there's actually like an object.
Well, this is an interesting point. See, I'm thinking that when a Bala Bayis has a contract with his employer, his employees, so there's a certain entitlement that he has for them to work, produce a certain amount of work, right? Like we talk about Gezel Melachto Shel Bala Bayis. And so if they're working inefficiently, it's clear where like the, you know, there's some infringement of his right to having them work for him at a, you know, a reasonable pace, etc. So it's easy to see like where the, like what the gezel, what the hashavas aved is. But for the poel, I'm wondering like, especially if you lean into some sort of Michel Shamayim hu ochel, or if it's just like a Hofeldian liberty right, that he doesn't violate gezel if he's eating, right? It's he's under no duty to not eat. Would we characterize that as hashav aveda lebailim, right? Giving back like the a right that was his that he's being deprived of, right? If it's just a Hofeldian liberty, well, if there's nothing left, there's nothing left. Like that's just kind of the way the rules are set up. Why would you call this hashav aveda lebailim? To my mind, this seems to suggest that the entitlement of the poel is quite strong, some sort of claim right that he has, quasi property rights that we want to make sure he's not deprived of. That's where I see the chiddush there. You hear that?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I think this Rabbi Hasvardi is taking a stand on that kind of a question about what the nature of the entitlement of the poel is. To even call this Hashavas Aveda Levilim. Okay, good. Let me just also mention here, okay, two other important parts of the Bitul Melacha part of the equation is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Tes Lamed Aleph. The Gemara there wants to know, Mahu Sheyahav Hev Be'or V'Yochal? Does the poel have the right to like put the grapes out in the sun to get a little sweeter, to get a little more sugary, to make it more enticing for him to eat? And Evan, what does the Gemara say about that? What's the Gemara's answer? He can't do that. Why?
Bit the malacha, right? And we had a few different options of what that meant, which I think we looked at last week or 2 weeks ago. Was that similar to the motzeitz? Was this idea of like sort of he's just going to eat a ton and not going to be doing what he's supposed to be doing?
What do you think it means in this context, Evan? You can see Rashi here.
Shemavatel atmo kishime havher.
Yeah, mahavhev is when he's like putting it out in the sun, right?
So just a longer process here.
Exactly, right? Something as basic as that, just like if he's bringing his spice rack with him, right? Or as Noah's saying, if he's putting on the like the condiments on the burrito, it's going to take him longer to consume the thing than if he's just eating straight away. Right, Evan? So it's like the Gemara does think, it's not clear to me if this is like Midoraisa or Midrabanan here. I don't know if anybody has a sense of this. But the Gemara is saying the reason why the Poel can't do these things, Bavachali Ahavhe Be'or, is Mishum Bitul Malacha. That's already an infringement on the Balabais's rights or a breach of the Poel's duty to work efficiently for the Balabais. Same for Velo Yichmor Ba'adama V'yochal. Velo Yafrich Al Gabe Hasela V'yochal. You shouldn't be like scratching or breaking open the grapes on rocks. All Mishum Bitul Malacha. So it's fascinating that Bitul Malacha here seems to be quite front and center in the halachas, the interpretation of the rules of Achilas Poel. Now, there's one other point that I think is very relevant to this discussion, and that is the Chacham Hamarshim that we saw in Siman Shin Lamed Zayin. We're interested in this idea of Bitul Malacha. So, Zacharia, remind us about the Chacham Hamarshim.
Yeah, so he posits that the entire reason that there's a heter achilas poel is for the benefit of the Baal Bayis, so that his worker will be well-fed and energetic and able to put in that power for the work for the Baal Bayis. And he connects it to the Yushalmi, which kind of says that there's an isser for someone to either starve themselves before they work or to like stay up all night, the example Ram gives, or to hire themselves out the night before, where it's kind of, there's a lot of concerns that, you know, when you're being hired, it'll lead to a bit to malacha or Baal Bayis.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the Chacham Hamarshim, definitely as understood by the Beis Yosef, thinks that the whole purpose, the underlying mechayiv of the Zuchus Achilas Poel is to make him more efficient for the Baal Bayis. So it's like he's forfending against Gabe's comment here in the chat, right? Gabe's saying Bitul Malacha is maybe a front and center consideration, but not like the motivating value. And the Chacham Hamarshim says, yes, Gabe, it's the motivating value. No, Gabe? Isn't that what he's saying?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. I'm just not sure I agree with it.
Right. We don't know who the Chacham Hamarshim is even to know whether it's like problematic to disagree with him, right? That's really fascinating. I think that would help explain why Bitul Malacha is so front and center to the rules of Zuchus Achilas Poel. Kind of, it works nicely if this is anchored into the underlying Mechayiv. I think that helps motivate why Bitul Malacha is so front and center here. But I agree with Gabe that certainly in principle, you could say, it's what the rule is, the reason for the rule is one thing. And that Chazal tried, or that even Midoraisa, we try to finesse the rule in a way that's not coming at an extreme cost to the Baal Bayis. That's something else. Right, Gabe? That's what you could say.
Yeah.
But I think this sugya is like super important if we're interested in looking a little bit at like the halachic theory of like efficiency, or at least a worker's duty to work efficiently. That you get as a general statement in the Rambam. I think Shua has been pushing us to have Parsha Chabura. And Gabe also said he likes Parsha Chabura, right? So you get this very famous Rambam, which is actually working off that Yushalmi and Tosefta, Lo Yariv HaPoel Atzmo, Lo Yisagev Atzmo, Mipnei Bitul Malachto Shabal Abayis. That you can't fast or do things that will make you less productive, because that'll be an infringement on the Baal Abayis' right. It's Bitul Malachto. So you get this nice formulation in the Rambam. Who wants to read this Rambam for us? Gabe, you want to read the Rambam for us, or...
I'm gonna pass. That's okay.
All right. So yeah, Kier, why don't you take the Rambam for us? Rashi Balabai, Rashi Balapara.
Rambam says Rashi Balapara lahari parasa l'sakva k'desha tochal habibin adayish. Rashi sochal achila pikei amir k'desha lo tochal habibin adayish. So each party can engineer things such that the animal is more or less hungry.
Here's the important part.
The Rambam's
very strong here. Like the Poel can't really moonlight at night. Or vice versa, right? If his main job is by day, he can't moonlight at night because that's going to make him less productive for his employer the following morning. Vilye Marivatsmo, he can't starve himself, he can't do other things that will weaken himself, he can't give away his portions to other family members. Mipnei Gezel Milachto Shel Bal Habayis. Why? Shehari Tashash Kocho V'techlash Daito V'lo Yase Milacha B'koach. It's very strong statements about the worker's duty to work efficiently. And then Yakir, just take us through the next halacha, very Kedosh Muzar Bal Habayis.
Yeah, so Kedosh Muzar Bal Habayis Shel Yigzal Shechar Ani V'lo Yakvenu Kachi Ani Muzar Shel Yigzal Lachas Bal Habayis Yivatzal Ma Pechad Ma Pechad Nemotzi Kol Yom Bimirma L'chayev L'dachtik Al Atzmo Bizman Shari Hikpidu Al Bracha Revi Yishol Berichas Muzar Shel Yivarich Hasa Chin Chayev Labad B'chol Kocho Shari Yaakov Atzadik Amar Ki B'chol Kochei Bat Yisabichan L'vichach Nota Shechar Zos Ach B'lo Mazash Ne'amar B'ifor Tzayish Mod Mod.
Yeah. So, you know, you kind of get this very strong admonition that the poel's got to be mechayev ledakdek al atzmo bizman. And the Rambam even cites this idea that the Torah suspends a worker from having to say the last bracha on benching in order to allow him to get back to work.
There's this Gemara in Tainus about Rav Chizkia, where they were like, there was no rain, and the like Chachamim came to get him to daven for rain, and there's like, it's like a weird agadah. There's like a whole list of things that he did weird, and one of them was that they were shol shalom, and he didn't respond. And then afterwards, they asked him why, and he says, "Because I'm a schir yom, and I can't be neshiv shalom while I'm on the clock."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Not going to talk about the irony of you being in the chavura right now. but yes, I'm not even going to put that on any recorded record yet. But, you know, it depends on what the norms are, yes. But yeah, that's what the Rambam's getting at in Chayv L'Dachdek Alatzim Bizman. And he cites, you know, Yaakov Kivachol Kochi Avavti Avichen as being like the standard for what a poel is obligated to do. The Shulchan Aruch just cites this lock, stock, and barrel in Shin Lamed Zayin. And the Gra cites our sugyas, exactly as Zacharia mentioned earlier, which is what's so striking about it. It's like almost as if the rules, you could like, the rules that or Chazal's tweaking of the rules or the Deraisa rules that are of Achilas Poel that are so concerned with Bitter Malachto speak to this efficiency consideration. At least within Sfiras Poelin. And, you know, the Chacham Marshim is going further and saying, well, that's like, that even underlies the whole reason for this Chus Achilas Poel in the first place, right? To make him into a more efficient worker for the Baal Habayis. So we have more to say about this. I'm just wondering if it makes sense to, should we spend 10 minutes now talking more about this, or we want to save this discussion and the Rabbi Levine article for the beginning of Thursday? Put it to a vote. What do you guys think? All in favor of doing it now, raise your hand. Oh, she just got to run.
Yeah, let's do it on Thursday.
Yeah, okay, so let's do it on. I'm going to add it.
Can I just make one closing comment?
Go for it, please.
I just want to know that we could distinguish, I think, very, very easily between the ethical obligations of a poel who's on the clock and the efficiency theory. The efficiency theory is much more macro, is about economic, I don't know, even just like the Baal Habayis efficiency is very different than saying the poel who's hired to do a certain labor is not doing that labor at the moment, is violating his ethical obligation or contractual obligations.
Yes, I think Gabe is right on the money here. And this is like, if you read the last pages of the Rabbi Levine article, he's totally not sensitive to this. I mean, the last pages talk about this question of the limits of the, he talks about like the dinim of a worker having to like end davening early to go back to his employer. Is that right, Gabe?
I didn't get to the end pages of the Levine article.
Okay, but basically he cites these dinim, like the Rambam says, like, oh, the bracha revius thing. And he says, oh, that shows you how much halacha values efficiency, right? And I read that, I'm like, no, that's not about efficiency per se. That's about like the requirement to act productively within an employment arrangement. That's like a get, like Gezel Malachto Shabala Bias is about what obligations the Poel has to his employer. It takes no stand on like whether efficiency and like productive resources and wasting resources, like on its own, like, you can't confuse the question of Gezel, which is about somebody else's right against you, with like this broader question of like, does the halacha value the generation of productive wealth, right? Efficiency as a value in and of itself. That's the point you're making, Gabe, right?
Yeah, that's my point. I like your position.
And Rabbi Levine's like totally not sensitive to that distinction. Which is
I don't know if that's so fair. I mean, he brings it in like, which I think is a really critical point. He brings in like, oh yeah, of course none of this applies to a kablon. Which is like really like, yeah, that just shoots it dead, the efficiency idea dead in the waters. And if there's no requirements for you yourself, when you are being employed by someone, but just the contract is not in terms of hours, there's no mitzvah or requirement at all.
Right. I agree that
so it's not about efficiency, it's just about what did we agree to.
Okay, but then in an article entitled Efficiency in Jewish Law, I think the burden's on him to make that distinction, right? And say, well, there's the Baal Tashchis kind of efficiency, which we'll talk about in the beginning of Thursday, which I think is also indefensible, the way he sets it up. That's one kind of efficiency, right? When I'm working for myself, how efficient is if I'm not maximally productive, am I violating Baal Tashchis? Rabbi Levine says yes, right? That's like a really strong, if he thinks if you're not putting resources to their most productive use, you're in violation of Baal Tashchis. Right? That's what he says in the beginning of the article, right? So it's like, if I could buy a $500 computer that will do the exact same thing for me as a $1,000 computer, like I violate Baal Tashchis in buying the computer that has the fancy gaming system that I never use, right? Because I'm not using my resources productively. That's Baal Tashchis. I think that's going to be very difficult to defend on its own. But that question should be totally distinct from the question of like, if I'm working for somebody else, what standard of Gezel Meleches Baal Abayis does the Torah have? Like what exactly constitutes a breach of my duties to him? And it's true that there's efficiency, the word efficiency is relevant to both, but in terms of as a normative value, there's such different values, right? So good. I want to talk about that a little bit in the beginning of the Thursday discussion, though I think our sugya is a very helpful, it's a really important way of getting into that discussion. All right, great. So let's stop here and we'll pick up Thursday with a little bit of this efficiency discussion. And then we'll make our way deep into Michel Lo or Michel Shemayim Huochel. And if we don't wrap that up on Thursday, we'll wrap up the whole discussion on Tuesday. And that'll be a completion of the Poel, of the Zuchus Achilas Poel, and we'll move into Yoreid as the next sugya. All right? Yasher koach, everybody. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gabe, I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on the... Just a second, I'm going to stop the recording.